Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time for us to roll out the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me, of course, is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one popping up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I greatly appreciate that. I still don't understand why Mr. Fantasy doesn't, but, you know, he's just like that. So, of course, don't forget there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three.
All right, Dan. So I have some tough, hard-hitting questions for you as a Cub fan. When was the last time Anthony Rizzo was on the disabled list?
2015.
Was it? I was going to say, I was trying to remember. I mean, he hasn't really had any long-term injuries or anything like that that's kept him out for long periods of time, right?
No.
And whose fantasy team is he on this year in our auction league?
Yours.
Oh, okay. Now we can start answering all these questions. Here, you want to know how wonderful my day went today for fantasy baseball, Dan? I got home and I knew the Cubs had put Rizzo on the DL. I was like, okay, I got to go in and make sure I get him on the DL and get another guy, because I expanded the DL, I think, to 5 this year with that damn 10-day disabled list. Guys go on it all the time. So I was like, okay, I put my other first baseman in. I picked Kendry Morales as my backup from the Blue Jays. I figured he was a nice, solid backup. Well, today the Blue Jays announced that Kendry Morales is on the disabled list. So not only did I lose one first baseman, I lost two in a matter of a day. I'm going to take zeros there today because none of my other guys qualify at first base. So it was like, yeah, all right, I'm rolling along now. So now the two guys I have on my roster that qualify at first base are Ryan Rua of the Texas Rangers, and a name you'll remember, Dan. I now have Dan Vogelbach as on my roster as first baseman.
Does he actually play?
Yeah, well, the Mariners just put Ryan Healy on the disabled list, so Vogelbach's actually going to get some playing time. You know, and I'm hoping, you know, like I know Rizzo can be activated on Monday because the Cubs backdated him. So I'm hoping he just comes back on Monday, and I've only got to go, you know, what do we got, 5 or 6 days here, you know, until he comes back. So we'll, you know, just going to have to ride the storm out, I guess, and see how it goes. So how are and I now have 4 guys on the DL on that team, so I only got room for one more. I have 4 guys and an N.A. So here we go. It's starting already. How are your injuries, Dan?
One team I have like 3 or 4, and then the other one I have just 1. I'm not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have a snake league. I have an NA guy, and then I think I only have 1 guy on the DL as of right now. I think it's Brandon Drury. And I was reading today they can't figure out why he's having migraines and blurred vision, so that may be bad. And the weird part is he had a really good start to his season, and then this kind of hit him, oh, I believe it was over the weekend, you know, like Thursday, Friday last week. So, you know, hopefully they'll work it out, and it's not, you know, a Mike Alt situation. Another name Dan will remember.
Former White Sox and Cubs.
Yes. So, and Ranger. Remember, he was a highly touted Rangers prospect when the Cubs traded for him. So, you know. But we did have a you know, couple games in the books already. And interestingly, it was the Chicago teams that both played. The Cubs actually got their game in. Maybe they shouldn't have, but they did get it in. They got slapped around pretty good. They got beat 8-5 by the Pirates. They made kind of a pseudo comeback that you just knew wasn't going anywhere. You know, just one of those things. Tyler Chatwood really struggled. I know I have him in one league. Do you have him in the other, or did you end up not getting him?
I actually have him in the ESPN league.
Oh, okay. Well, he didn't do much today, Dan. He went 5, 9 hits, 5 runs. They were all earned. The only really – he did walk one, but on the plus side, he did rack up 7 strikeouts. So at least he got that going for him. He took the loss. He's 0-2. Ivan Nova picked up the win for the Pirates. His first of the year, he's 1-1. He went 7 hits, 3 runs, all earned. He didn't walk anybody and struck out 6. And then, Dan, I don't know if you saw this one, but at the start of the year, the Pirates closer was named Felipe Rivero. He's now Felipe Vasquez, as he has changed his last name. He picked up his 4th save, went an inning and a third, gave up a hit, walked 1, and struck out 1. So just one of those odd situations. But, you know, I mean, there were some, you know, some positive fantasy stats from the Cubs side. You know, Wilson Contreras had 3 hits. Javi Baez was 2-for-4, and both his hits were home runs. Kyle Schwarber picked up a couple hits. So, did he strike out? Yeah, he did. Where is it there, Baez? Yeah, four at bats, 2 runs scored, 2 hits, 2 RBI. So he hit 2 solo shots, and then yeah, the other 2 were strikeouts. So. you know, at least you had, you know, that a little bit there going for you. You know, on the Pirates side, let's see. Josh Bell had 2 hits. Corey Dickerson had 3 hits. Francisco Cervelli had 3 hits, and I know one of his was a home run. And then Starling Marte only had 1 hit, but his was a home run as well. So, you know, there were, you know, some positive fantasy stats that you could – you know, you get out of that as you're moving along. You know, obviously the big negative guy was sadly Tyler Chatwood because he didn't even get a quality start. So, you know, and then on the other side of the town, other side of town, Chicago, the Sox dropped another one, 6-5 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Blake Snell picked up the win. He improved to 1-1. Carson Fulmer took the loss. He was bad. He was 0-1. Now, and Alex Colome got a save. Snell went 6 innings, gave up a hit and a run. It was earned. He did walk 5, though, but struck out 10. Colome pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up a hit and a run. That was also earned, and he walked the guy. Fulmer, just a rough outing. 4 2/3, 5 hits, 4 runs, 3 were earned. Dan mentioned off the air that he heard the play where the ball went through or went under Nicky Delmonico and really cost the White Sox. Fulmer walked 6 guys and struck out 4. You know, the White Sox, again, it wasn't much of a game until the White Sox decided to hit in the 9th inning. They put up 4 runs in the 9th inning. Jose Abreu picked up 2 hits, and one of his hits was a home run. The only other White Sox with 2 hits was Tyler Saladino. Oddly, let's see. Yeah, there we go. Mr. Fantasy's guy, Carlos Gomez, had a couple hits for the Rays, and one of his was a home run. Malik Smith, who for some reason I just continue to refuse to put in my lineup, had 2 hits. Maybe one of these days I'll be smart enough to do that. And then Daniel Robertson had 2 hits for the Rays as well. So that's the big positive fantasy stuff there from today. A couple losses here from Chicago. So not the best roll there, Dan. And I did see that it's the top of the second with the Indians leading the Tigers 1-0. But that's the only other game that has started. as of right now. The rest of the schedule, we got the Mariners at the Royals. The King gets the start tonight, Dan. Felix Hernandez going for the Mariners against Eric Sogard is what I know. It's not Sogard. It's got to be Skoglund. We'll call him that. I guess we'll make up a name there. The Yankees at the Red Sox, Dan. This, of course, is the Mickey Mouse Network game, and I believe all three of the games in this series are on television somewhere. I believe the MLB Network has the other two, so I'll probably get to listen to my guy Michael Kay. Good pitching matchup, though. Luis Severino against Chris Sale. The Blue Jays at the Orioles. It's Aaron Sanchez against Andrew Cashner. The Braves against the Nationals. It's Mike Fultonewicz against Steven Strasburg. The Reds are at the Phillies. It's it's Homer Bailey against Aaron Nola. Dan, over under for Aaron Nola pitches today, 75. Over or under?
Under.
The Mets are at the Marlins. It's Jacob DeGrom against Caleb Smith. The Angels at the Rangers. It's Tyler Skaggs against Martin Perez. The Astros at the Twins. It's Dan's guy Dallas Keuchel against Jake Odorizzi. That's kind of Dan's other guy. That's a tough matchup for him. The Brewers at the Cardinals. We got Brent Sutter against Carlos Martinez. The Padres at the Rockies. It's Joey Lukaszewski against Tyler Anderson. The A's at the Dodgers is Sean Manna against Hyunjin Ryu. And I saw, Dan, everybody saying Ryu is the pitcher to have in daily fantasy today. So we'll have to see how that works out. And then the night wraps up with the Diamondbacks at the Giants. We got Patrick Corbin against Tyler Beede getting the start for the Giants tonight. I think that's his first start. So you'll have some stuff to watch late there, Dan. You got A's, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks, Giants. Oh, no. Did we kill Dan? Oh, he's still there. Dan, did you mute yourself?
No, I thought you were still going.
No, no. No, that's what we got. I did want to ask you, Dan, I just caught this, and I was wondering if it was possibly you who bought this. Apparently, there was a Shohei Ohtani autographed Topps rookie card that sold for $6,725. A, does your wife know you bought that? And B, what is she going to say when she finds out?
I wouldn't even do it. I can't even spend more than $5. Or I don't even.
I would say you'd have to live in your basement, but I believe that's already occupied by somebody else. So
yeah,
you can't even
yeah.
do that. You know, again, I guess my question here, Dan, is, you know, if you're looking at this as like an investment. Why? It's never going to go any higher than this, is it?
If he becomes the MVP and the rookie of the year, he could probably return it around and sell it for $20,000.
Kind of looking at it, I was like, who, you know, and I don't believe, I didn't see the buyer's name, but you know what I mean? I get it. Okay. If you know, you really, you know, love baseball and you have zero plans of ever getting rid of this. And, you know, you're just going to, you know, put it in a case somewhere and look at it. It is autographed. So, you know, that's cool. But yeah, I just don't,
that's too much money.
I don't quite have $7,000 to drop on a baseball card. So not that I would, if I did have it. Just one. Would you, if you had the money, Dan, you know, just kind of laying around, would you have actually made this purchase? Are you buying this as a good investment?
No. I don't think it'll turn around. I mean, I could be wrong. We could.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you're right. If he does something this year, you have the opportunity to possibly turn it into something, but you know, it's a big risk if you're going to hang on to it. I mean, you know, even now, you know, the league is a game of adjustments, and you know, they're they're going to make their adjustments to him, and in return, he's going to have to make it to them. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes, but I don't think I could ever bought that one. But all right. And then the other thing I saw kind of updating, I know you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, they had that incident with Torrey Lovello and Yadier Molina that mm-hmm. we were kind of joking and a little bit about yesterday. Baseball decided that they would both get one game suspensions. Are you okay with that? Is that enough? Do you think it should have been more or maybe less or maybe just fines? I'm sure there's fines that go with it, but.
No, I think that's fine. I mean, they didn't get too physical, so.
So you're buying that? That's enough?
Yeah, well, they probably only did it because, you know, all the complaints.
Well, you know, I guess, do you appeal if you're, you know, I know Lovello can't appeal because he's a manager. But do you appeal if you Molina, because you were kind of goaded into that fight? I mean, I don't know how much ground you have to stand on with the fact that you did push an umpire, you know, and you probably kind of got a break that it was only, you know, one game there. They could have won a little more. But do you appeal that if you're him and maybe see if they'll reduce it and just give you the fine?
No, I think you just go with it. It's only one game, so.
All right. Well, I found this pretty. I'm actually going to call it interesting because I actually enjoyed this article. It was 40 active players that this writer, who by the name is David Schoenfeld, believes will wind up in Cooperstown. And he broke them up into different categories, so I just want to kind of throw them at you. He has six guys that are already going to go in. As he puts them, they're already fully qualified. He has Albert Pujols, Adrian Beltre, Miguel Cabrera, Ichiro Suzuki, Clayton Kershaw, and Robinson Cano. Basically, he's looking for guys that saying that they have to get a minimum 10-year requirement for eligibility. So these guys all have 10-plus years. He believes they're all pretty much in. They're all fully qualified as he gets it. You agree with all six of those guys going in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't see why, you know, those guys in particular wouldn't get in.
And then the next guy, you know, this category fits in. As soon as he gets to 10 seasons, there's only one guy in this category, and that's Mike Trout. I think you and I both know Trout's going in regardless, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then this is the category. He's got three guys knocking on the door. Let me know if you think these three guys are going in. He's got Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, and Joey Votto. Do you have all three of those guys in?
I definitely say Verlander, but, you know, and it's a great analogy knocking on the door because I think both Votto and Greinke are right there. You know, the thing that holds me out on Greinke is the, I don't know if it's both count or not, but the lack of playoffs.
Oh, yeah, guys definitely, you know, use that in their voting. You know, there's no doubt about this. Now, it's going to get a little tougher here. So I'll give these to you kind of one name at a time and let you kind of, you know, illuminate on it a little bit and try to figure it out. These are the guys that he has. They're on the right track. There's six of them. I'm really surprised that this guy wasn't higher because I think he's a slam dunk as long as he gets to, you know, the 10 years. But the first guy on this list is Max Scherzer. You know, I was kind of figuring with multiple Cy Youngs, he's kind of in, but maybe that's just me. He does have 143 career victories. Does he have to get to 200 maybe before you kind of lock him in, or you got Scherzer going in?
No, I kind of agree with you. I like him. I think he is definitely deserving of it. I think I would have put him on the knocking on the door. but you know, he's played yeah. his time, and I think the 200 wins would definitely help.
You know, and then the next guy on the list is Chris Sale. How do you see Sale's chances?
He's on the right track.
Yeah.
I think and the rest of his time with Boston, you know, unless he goes somewhere else and, you know, becomes the number one and helps that team contend, I think that one makes a difference.
Yeah, and now this next one is interesting, especially with the start he's gotten off to, and that's Giancarlo Stanton. How you feeling there? Is he really on the right track? I'm kind of under the impression I think he's got I believe he's gonna have to get the 600 home runs to get in. I don't know if he gets in if he doesn't get to that number, but that's just me. How do you feel here?
I'm kind of on the same. I think he's gonna end up being, you know, a great in the game, but I don't know if he'll be a Hall of Famer.
All right, our next guy here, and I think this will be one you and I would agree on, but Madison Bumgarner, you know, I'm a little concerned with the injury yet, but I still keep looking at the fact that the guy's just not even 30 years old. So he's probably still got 10 or 11 years to pitch if he can just stay healthy. You know, I'm kind of under the feeling you got Madison rolling in. I kind of think he ends up getting in too, but are you in the boat?
Yeah, unless he just drops off the face of the earth next year.
And then the fifth guy on this list is Jose Altuve. You got the little guy going in? He's getting there?
I think he gets there.
So then the last guy here, and I wonder how much they would hold against him playing in Colorado, is Nolan Arenado.
I don't know. I really think if, you know, they can make a big playoff run over the next couple of years, it could solidify it. But I think he's going to be in kind of in that Stanton realm where, you know, when they come up on the ballots, there's going to be just, you know, a couple more guys that were better than them.
And then he has a bracket that he calls the catchers. And he's got three names here, and to be honest with you, I really thought two of these guys were going to be in. You know, this, of course, is barring a serious injury that just kind of cuts their career short. The first guy on the list here he has is Buster Posey. You want to talk about Buster? He's your guy.
Well, he's my guy, so he's going in.
So the second one, and I mean, I thought this guy was a slam dunk first ballot guy, is Yadier. He's got Yadier Molina as his next guy on the list. He's in, right?
Is it literally just catchers that we're talking about? I thought it was like that.
No, he's got like three catchers. He's got three guys. Well, he put one in catchers. It's just a category he broke into. The next guy here, I don't know if I buy this guy as a catcher now, but he qualifies Joe Mauer in this because he did catch full-time for 8 seasons. And he has some interesting stats. You're talking about a guy who's got 3 batting titles, 3 gold gloves, and he is an MVP winner when he was a catcher. You know, now he's moved to first base, though, and he kind of, you know, his power numbers really don't compare with those guys. Does that hurt him, or how do you think that's going to affect him?
I think that hurts him, but I also think the time in Minnesota and the lack of, again, championships is what's going to kind of keep him on the outside looking in.
All right, now this is going to be really tough because this is the category he has as 26 and younger. So you've really got to project out here and it makes it real tough. And the first guy he throws at you is Manny Machado.
No.
All right, here we go. Our next guy here. How about Bryce Harper?
Oh. Harper. I want him to go in. You know, he's always going to have that name value and all that, but, you know, I think he might be one of those guys that's right on the cusp. I still think it needs time.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, being, like I said, 26 and younger. Now, this next name is interesting. I don't know if I would have put him in here, but he's got Mookie Betts on this list. How do you feel about Mookie playing out? Does he end up in the Hall or with Hall numbers, let's call him?
I don't think so. I think he'll be in the Hall of Great Players.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I was kind of wondering. If he ends up being, you know, like, yeah, that kind of Hall of Very Good, but not really Hall of Fame type of guy. The next one, I know you're biased here, but I got to give you the name anyways. Chris Bryant.
Yeah, he's going in.
Let's see. Who's next on the list? It looks like we got back to that. Well, I got three shortstops in a row now. The first one he has on the list is Carlos Correa.
Ooh, I really like him, but I think he might be sitting on the outside looking in.
Then we move over to a guy who's compared to Correa quite a bit. These guys, I think, are going to be hand-in-hand as long as they stay in the American League. That's Francisco Lindor.
Ooh. That one's a tough one. You know, like you said, being
well, these
the
are...
age that they are, it's rough to really kind of go, hey, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you think those are tough. Wait till I give you these last two, because these last two are almost borderline completely unfair. The next shortstop he has on the list here is Corey Seager. All right, so I know I'm asking you to do the impossible here, Dan. You got a guy who's in his third year. He's under 26, and you got to try to project out if he's going to put up Hall of Fame numbers the rest of his career. Yeah, the next, 8 to 10 years. So, I don't even know if you can do it, but I'm sure you know, I know you're a Dodger guy. You'd like to do it, wouldn't you?
I'd like to see him in, but I don't know that he does it.
Well, then here it gets even worse. The last guy on this list is Cody Bellinger, who just won the Rookie of the Year, and now you've got to try to throw it out there and say, hey, is he going to be a Hall of Famer?
Didn't they both win the Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, it was Seager 2 years ago and Bellinger last year. So,
I don't know. I think he has the stuff, but those two especially are just super hard to really forecast.
The interesting thing, I like that he points this thing out here. You know, injuries always play such a huge factor, but because he points out to the fact that before they were 26, both David Wright and Troy Tulowitzki were on track to go into the Hall of Fame, you know, statistically wise, but now I don't think we see either one of them, do we? So
No, I mean, you know, like you said, David Wright, I mean, with David Wright, it was, I think, you know, it was like, the Mets are going to build around him. They're going to win championships. And now he's, just getting paid.
All right. Well, I don't know how you feel about this one, but we'll have to see. He adds a CC Sabathia with his 200 plus wins.
I kind of would like to see him go in, but I think for him, it's really going to matter who's on that ballot when he's up for voting. And I think that's what's going to make it really hard. Because, you know, I think this year he's going to definitely play out. I don't know if he plays again next year. So, you know, kind of looking at the Hall of Fame class of 2024, or maybe even 2025. I don't know the exact cutoffs or how they work that out. But, you know, it may just be a matter of who else is there.
Yeah. All right. He throws two relievers on here. I'll just throw them at you both at the same time here. He's got Craig Kimbrell and Kenley Jansen.
I want to go with Kimbrell, but I don't know about Jansen.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting fact here, he puts up the fact that they're both 30 years old this season, but neither one of them are either halfway to Trevor Hoffman's save total of 601. And I believe Hoffman and Rivera are still the only two closers in the Hall of Fame, and they both have 600 plus saves. So, I think those guys may have some work to do. All right, couple first basemen. Let's throw these guys at you. He's got Anthony Rizzo, who I was kind of wondering if he made the list. I didn't get this far down. And then Paul Goldschmidt.
You know, I mean, both of these players, hands down, are going to go into their respective teams' Hall of Fame. But I think when their careers are over, there's going to be something that keeps them out. I think they get in maybe eventually in the Veterans Committee.
Do you think if the Cubs win multiple championships with Rizzo as kind of like their first baseman and their leader, do you think that helps him? Does that maybe get him in?
I think that helps him, but you know, my biggest concern from him has always been his back. One of the reasons I, don't really draft him on my fantasy teams, it's going back to the 2015 prior to 2015 season. It's one of those injury things that, I think if he could stay healthy over the next, 7 years and keep producing, he's already going to go down as one of the greatest leadoff hitters in Cubs history, right?
Yeah. These next two aren't even fair. I'm just going to throw them out there because they're part of the article, but there's no way you can do anything on this. He has Ronald Acuna and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Neither guy has had a major league at bat yet, so let's be a little serious here about that. That's ridiculous. And then two guys he's predicting as going to get there. No surprise here, they're both Yankees. Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez. You buying either of these guys? I mean, obviously they both have a long way to go, but do you see this as it works?
I think it's definitely possible. Anything's possible, right, if you put your mind to it.
That's what they say.
If we were going over percentages, I'm right at this point, I'm definitely over 50.
Yeah, so, and I mean, let's be fair. Being career Yankees would help them both greatly. No matter what anybody says, if they both stay with the Yankees, it would help. Then he has a couple guys here that he considers long shots: Steven Strasburg and Christian Yelich, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, you'd like to think Strasburg was going to go, but unfortunately, the way the Nats have performed and his career kind of up and down, I think, it took off at first and then really dipped. And he's starting to get more of a solid form back, but I don't know that he makes it.
Yeah, I think like Strasburg's advantage is he's just 29. So, there is an opportunity if he stays healthy, he could pitch for 10 more years. So, that could be a plus. And, the advantage that I think Yelich has here, and I don't think too many people realize this, he started at 21 with the Marlins. So he could be one of these guys that, as long as, again, you got to stay healthy, and as long as he's playing full time, by the time he's 36, 37, 38, he may be knocking on the 3,000 hit door, which is kind of an automatic to get you in. So, that could be really interesting coming down the stretch for his career.
I think part of it, which would give him a boost, is if he were moved to a contending team.
Who knows? Maybe the Brewers will be that. Who knows, right? So
yeah, but I see them, in returning him for prospects in the near future.
This is another interesting one here. As he puts it, defense matters. He has Andrelton Simmons, who is a fantastic defensive shortstop. His offense looks like it's starting to catch up now. He's thinking if Omar Vizquel can find his way in, this may open the door for Simmons when he gets to that point, I don't know, Dan. With all the offense in today's game, isn't Simmons just going to get overshadowed? Did we kill Dan? Or did he have to go? It might be about that time that Dan has to go. So, you know, but all right, well, we will just kind of roll on then. And then, of course, you know, you can't have a baseball article without writing about Shohei Ohtani. So he put him in as he said, why not? Which, of course, I'm going to tell you is extremely stupid. You know, let's let the guy play a little bit. I know it's fun and exciting that he's doing all this and he's putting this all together, but it gets nuts when they get like this, and it's like, really, just let's take a step back and see what kind of goes on, because you know, a lot of these guys are the same people that wanted him sent to the minors when he was struggling in spring training. And even though they won't admit that now, I never said that. What are you talking about? So, you know, just one of those things, but we'll have to, we'll have to see how that works out. But yeah, they get a little carried away with that kind of stuff. But, I had mentioned while I was kind of running through it before that, Hyunjin Ryu was kind of an under the radar FanDuel pick for tonight. And I actually did put a lineup together with him in it. And I found a couple of other interesting guys who were looked at as being under the radar tonight. So I wanted to throw the lineup at you. I mean, obviously it's too late for you to get in because the contest started. But here's what I came up with tonight. I did use Ryu, who was just $6,500. Then I paired him up with Wilmer Flores at first base. He's another one of those guys that are supposed to be a really, really underrated tonight. And he was just $2,200. I went with Zach Cozart at second for $3,800. Josh Donaldson at third for $4,100. Then I backed it up with a couple other, what you would call under the radar picks. My shortstop tonight is Pat Velika. He's in the Rockies lineup. He's hitting eighth, so that was a little rough, but he was just $2,500. Anytime you're in Colorado, it could just be one of those things. And then kind of starting out in my outfield on the opposite side, I went with Curtis Granderson, who's just $24. Now he's been leading off for the Blue Jays, which leads to those extra at bats and those extra opportunities. At, you know, $2,400, he could be another one of those guys who just sneaky. This allowed me enough money to back up my outfield with Bryce Harper and then Mike Trout. Mike Trout, for whatever reason, just does not perform for me. I don't know why it is when I have him in my lineup. You know, they'll tell you over and over how great he is. It just doesn't work for me. And then I rounded out with Brian Anderson of the Marlins for $2,900 just because it's been really hot. So, I kind of worked it up that way. And then all my guys are hitting in the top part of the order except Velika. And, you know, like I said, at $2,500, I thought he was worth the gamble being at home. So that's what I went with. But, yeah, Ryu, Flores, Velika, and Granderson are supposed to be three really good under the radar type of picks on daily fantasy. So maybe you got them in your lineup and it worked out for you. You know, feel free to let me know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, how it went, or maybe it didn't. I know sadly most of the time for me it doesn't go, but maybe it'll work for you. So
a lot of times when I'm throwing in, you know, Trout or Harper, I've had a couple of times where I've got them both in one game. They put up numbers, but you know what happens, right? I get about 5-0
Nobody
to
else
go
does.
With their numbers. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for whatever reason, and I it's just one of those odd things. Like, Bryce Harper normally does pretty well for me, but for whatever it is, when I use Mike Trout, it just, he's a $5,200 player. So to get good value for him, I'm going to need him really to score probably 25 or 30 points at the price you're paying for him. Most times I use him, he scores under 10. And I don't know why that is. It's just one of those weird, you know, weird coincidences. It's like, oh, okay, you know, I guess we're not, you know, not going to work out today. So here we go.
Yeah, that's how the cookie crumbles.
But yeah, you know, hopefully tonight, maybe tonight's the night that he goes, you know, 3 for 4 and hits 2 bombs for me. So we'll have to see how it goes.
That would be
one
nice.
Of those fun, he wasn't available for the 7 o'clock starts. You know, I didn't do an all day lineup. I just did the main lineup, as they call it. So, you know, it was like, I'll just do this route. And basically, because I was asleep when the Cubs game started, so I couldn't have done one if I wanted to. So, you know, that's just kind of how it works out with my life. But yeah, I did say, and I'm surprised you didn't point this out. Apparently, I don't know what the ticket sales were for the White Sox game today, but apparently people in the ballpark, the total was 974.
Yeah, I could see that.
So,
The couple of shots that I seen, I mean, there was literally no one in the outfield. Nobody.
Yeah, Carlos Gomez hit, it landed by, like, there were like three guys there close to the home run. And one came running into the screen and the other two were actually sitting there. So that just must have been their seats or wherever they decided to sit. I'm sure it was just kind of like sit wherever you want type of day. I mean, I don't know why you would enforce, you know, anything like that. So,
in situations and games like this, you always see those certain fans that, you know, went the super duper cheap route and, you know, bought the, and then I'm not knocking them because I would do it too. But then continue to sit in their nosebleeds when there's 35 rows in front of them that are completely empty. That's the one I don't understand. Like, hey, fella, you can, there's no ushers up there. You can just go down. But no, they, you know, climb up those 35 flights and sit all the way on top of the stadium. That's the ones I don't get, you know.
Well, maybe they feel bad. You know, they don't want to, you know, take advantage of a situation like that. So they're following the rules and sitting where their seat says to sit. So, you know, nothing wrong with that at all. But yeah, I knew you would get you of all people would get a kick out of that attendance figure, because I know how you are when it comes to the White Sox.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I mean, and it's nothing against the team, but I mean, with ticket sales like that, why even play there? I mean, would it have been any better though in Tampa? Would they have had 1,000 fans or more in Tampa on a Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah. You know, and again, I mean, you know, you don't know, you know, what the actual ticket sales were.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it was more than that. You know, there were probably people who just didn't go, you know, because of the weather or whatever. I mean, if you're a season ticket holder, you know, I'm sure there's games you just don't go to, you know. But, yeah, it's, you know, and, you know, it's always tough sledding when your team rebuilds. You know, that's one of the difficult parts about it. I don't think they expected it to be that bad. I mean, that's a, you know, that's a horrible figure. But, you know, I mean, we'll have to see how, you know, like the Marlins are doing when it, you know, it comes to that. I mean, obviously they get a little better weather. You know, I mean, I'm sure weather had a lot to do with people. Just, I mean, why the hell would you want to go today? So,
Yeah, well, the other side of it too is White Sox don't generally play 1 o'clock or day games unless it's, a Saturday or a Sunday, which even a lot of times I don't know if they're allowed to, I don't know the rules. I forget the rules on the national. I don't know if you're allowed to push a game past 3 o'clock if you're not nationally televised. But with the Sox, I think that's one of the factors to kind of take in is the fact that generally all their weekday games are 7 o'clock start. So, throwing a 1 o'clock game to them, I think, they honestly may have had more people show up at 7 o'clock. But, then again, I think for both teams, I don't remember what the White Sox have going on tomorrow or the Rays, but I'm sure the Rays have to travel. And with the weather, it was probably just better for both teams retrospectively to get it in early when the sun was out.
Yeah, well, that and the fact that you end up inadvertently going against Cubs opening day, that's not going to help you. It's kind of it's like, hey, great, here you go. Now it's opening day at Wrigley. You're not gonna, it's just a whole bunch of bad, bad situations added together, and it's like, yeah, okay, great. What do? You just kind of
Well,
live with it and, you move on.
the thing I found really interesting yesterday, though, was listening to the White Sox because, another thing, they were on WGN, our local superstation. I don't know if they're still considered a superstation or how that works anymore, with the cable conglomerates and all that good stuff. But you can't stream WGN games either because if you go to their streaming app, guess what you get? Whatever the hell news is on, because, if it ain't,
Oh.
Big Bang Theory, it's news. That's all they want to play on these, all these freaking channels is news crap. That's why we have CNN, WGN, NBC or ABC. I don't know. It just kills me. Like, from 6 a.m. to what? 2 o'clock before all the trashy talk shows come on, it's all news. So I was actually listening to the radio broadcast yesterday and they brought up the fact that with the Cubs game being postponed, they actually had a nice little turnover where Cub fans or baseball fans, I guess, were taking the trip down to the South Side to watch the White Sox play.
Yeah, well, you got to figure if you went down for the Cubs game, why not just drive over? It's not too far of a trip. I mean, if you came from out of town, what the heck? Why not go and take a look and see what's going on? Probably not a not a bad idea.
No, I mean, it's definitely the one thing I like about the Cell, which, or G-Rate Field, as they call it now, it's pretty open. It sucks if you're on top because you're not really, well, no, you can go downstairs. You're pretty much able to roam the stadium and just check everything out. So that's one of the things I do like about it. Aesthetic, well, like I said, it's cool that way, but the ins and outs, the getting into the stadium, it's pretty much one gate for everybody, and then getting out of the stadium and the city. That's what really sucks about that stadium. But,
Yeah.
to be honest, well, that and something a national broadcaster brought up was the fact that they, and I guess it has to do with the way the wind goes and all that good stuff, but they didn't understand why, home plate, you didn't look out and see the city skyline as opposed to the wonderful expressway, where you might get some fireworks on the Ryan. That one made a lot of sense to me because I think that would be cool if you're, getting to watch the fireworks and, off of a, I was going to say a Frank Thomas home run, put in your current White Sox favorite player. It would be kind of cool to see the fireworks going off after that home run and have the backdrop of city Chicago skyline, downtown Chicago skyline there.
Yeah, you always kind of wonder, why they, went kind of the round they did, the way they did with this stuff. So, I mean, you'd like to think they thought it through and they had some ideas, but you just never, you never know when it actually comes down to it, how these things come off. So, You know, you don't want to say, hey, this is what they did or they didn't do.
Well, and it's because it's one of the cool things when you, you know, across the street from the park is where you do your parking. If you go on the outside and walk up the three flights of stairs, and it brings you to this landing that's out in the open. And, I mean, you get this clear shot of the skyline, and it is really cool. So if you can imagine if they were able to kind of incorporate that, it would have been, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, with St. Louis where you could see the Arc, or Pittsburgh where you could see the Yellow Bridge. I don't know which bridge that is. Minnesota, I don't know if you could see anything but Target. And then if you go to South Bend, Big Jack, this is what I forgot to mention, which I thought was really cool. You know, it's one of those minor silly things, but, you know, they're really trying to recreate like a mini Wrigley Field down there. You know, we've had Chris Hagstrom come on and talk about the Berlin apartment buildings that are going up, which I guess will be ready in June for rooftop seating, which will have 300 seats, which will be perfect for the summer. With the weather we've been having now, I don't think it would make a difference. You just have a bunch of empty seats up there. But the one thing, and I don't know if you noticed this when we went out there, I didn't notice it till this Saturday. When I went to the Cubs, South Bend Cubbies store, I forgot what they call it. I was walking out of or walking towards it, and I look up, and on the roof, it's got, you know, kind of that arch, that triangle roof going on. And the entire roof has been sold for advertising. And they went old school, and they went with Budweiser. So it just takes you all the way back to Wrigley Field when the tallest building was that one building that had the Budweiser, you know, on their roof. I thought, you know, I thought you might get a kick out of that. It's one of those small little things that I picked up on Saturday. I was like, no, you got to be kidding me. I didn't even realize they did that. So one of the cool things about that single A team.
Oh, well, that's cool.
I know. No, most people wouldn't care, you know, give a damn, but I just thought that was, you know, I think Toyota holds the rights to that now and at Wrigleyville, but you know, just one of those little small things that I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, well, here you go, Dan, kind of changing up sports. I saw something that, you know, you'll probably remember how I feel about this, but, the NFL has announced that Thursday Night Football, which is moving to Fox, I believe, this season, will not have color rush uniforms this season.
Yay. Boo. I don't really know how.
You know, well, you know, if you listen to the podcast at all, you know I just didn't like those things. Some of them were just hideous. I just thought that was kind of humorous when I saw that, and it was like, oh, okay, they're not going to do this year. This is kind of funny. So I will be saved.
They weren't even that impactful, to be honest with you. I mean, we saw a Packers Bears game or a Bears Lions. I can't remember who it was. And it was like, oh wow, one has white on and one has like a dark blue.
Yeah.
You guys are really going out on a limb.
Yeah, you know, some of them get really weird. You know, like Seattle wears that teal or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, there are some rough ones out there. It's just kind of like, so, you know, it's like, boy. But, you know, I mean, like, you know, like anything else, I mean, it's just a way to sell more merchandise.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, to be honest, I think if they were looking to sell more merchandise, I would take the Thursday night games and do retro. You know, if you've got the Chiefs versus
Raiders,
maybe
that's
which
something they'll do.
Might be a little bit difficult because they haven't really changed all that much. But, you know, it would be cool to kind of showcase some history of the game, you know, especially, and that's why I brought up the Chiefs and the Raiders. I don't know if they would get a Thursday night game, but you know, their rivalry goes back to like the 60s. And I know the NFL, you know, isn't as old as Major League Baseball, but they've got some cool history there. I mean, a Bears and a Packers, it's really hard to go back because they kind of have stuck with the same stuff over the years. But, you know, if you're able to get two teams and kind of bring back the old stuff, I think that would be a kind of a cool way to go with it for Thursday nights.
Yeah, well, you know, I know the Bears have, you know, have done that before in certain games, and they may have actually done it with with the Packers once, you know, where they went in and, you know, they wore old uniforms, you know, or at least the old style so people could, you know, see it. So, yeah, you know, that, but yeah, that could be interesting if they started doing it on Thursday nights. I mean, you know, I mean, we talk about merchandise. I mean, you know, how many freaking uniforms does every baseball team have now? You know,
Not as many as the Diamondbacks.
So. yeah, they seem to be the leader, don't they? But, I mean, you know, you can go through, you know, every team and, you know, I mean, or basketball or, you know, it just seems like, you know, I don't think hockey does too many. But, yeah, there are, you know, just a ton of them that, you know, it's like, oh, man, another, you know, another different uniform. So... But yeah, I'm like, oh.
Now, did they announce that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are Thursday night broadcasters?
I haven't heard that yet, but I've got to assume. Yeah, I've got to assume that that will be happening quite soon. But yeah, maybe they made the announcement and I just missed it. Who knows?
You swiped left real quick, right?
Yeah, I ran and hid when it freaking happened, because that's, you know, it's not that I won't watch the games, you know, I'll still watch the games. It'll just be my big complaint is the fact that I've got to listen to these two, you know, because Aikman will relate everything to the Cowboys and Joe Buck is just annoying as all hell. So, you know.
It's like Sunday Night Baseball with Joe Morgan. Everything was went right back to him.
Yeah, everything was about Joe Morgan. So there you go. Mm-hmm. You know, but Anna, you know, I didn't get to ask you, are you ready for the NHL playoffs to start tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. You know, I forgot who my team has. The Capitals are up against someone.
Of course, I can hear. They have the Columbus Blue Jackets on Thursday.
Oh, they have the Blue Jackets.
Yes. So,
you know, and my Western team on the East Coast, you know, that's in the middle of the country, almost.
Yeah.
Now I forgot who the Predators are going up against. They won the President's Cup or whatever you call it. One of the interesting,
Colorado also Thursday.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting series though is going to be the Knights versus the Kings. Yeah, well, especially with the Knights being first year expansion team.
Just because of the names?
Well, because the Golden Knights, it's their first season.
Okay. I just thought it was because they had cool names. They were Knights and Kings fighting, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and the pawns are the refs, right?
Hey, that would be cool, right? You know, so, you know, it'd be like history, you know, history of the world. I don't want to get into that now, Mel Brooks. I don't want to. So, all right. Well, Dan and I are going to take off before I say something really stupid. We're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 and take something out. Then, you know, while we're gone, sportstimeradio.com. Check out what goes on over there. But don't forget to follow that link over to the Facebook page and give it a like, please. Of course, the Twitter feed is on. We know that that's Sports Time Radio. Get over there, check that out. But you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to do that. That's cool. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want at tunedin.com.
Sports Time Radio.